We'll read down to and including verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Just great to see everybody here tonight. And for those of our members and those of you that are perhaps watching streaming, unable to come to the services, it's just a blessing to know that you're tuned in, and we trust that the Lord will speak to your heart and bless you. Beginning in verse 1, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and she brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God and said, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Verse 2 is going to be our text this evening. In verse 2, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Father, we thank you for the great faith of this woman. We thank you for the timing of the prophet Elisha being there. We thank you, Lord, for this man of God that you chose to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement, not only to the nation of Israel and your children, but to this lady who not long before this had lost her husband. We ask now that you'll bless our service and may Christ be seen. And Lord, may your word be honored. And we ask you in Jesus' wonderful name. And God's people said, amen. Now, I said this morning four things everyone should know, but it's four truths everyone should know. And that is from our text verse of verse 2. So in this passage, we see the pitiful plight of a widow lady and her two sons. The Bible historian, the historian of the era, the age, Josephus, said that this woman, this widow, was the wife of Obadiah. Obadiah, at that time, was the chamberlain of King Ahab. While her husband lived, now consider this now, while her husband lived, she lived in luxury and breathed the atmosphere of the royal court repeatedly and consistently. When her husband died, however, she was reduced to poverty. Her friends forsook her, and the world turned its back on her, and leaving her with no source of help and of no help and no comfort. Soon she was plunged into debt, deep debt it was, and was hard pressed to meet the demands of her creditors. This widow is appealing in our reading, as we mentioned, to the prophet Elisha, and for help for her needs and for that of her family. She tells the prophet that her creditors are coming to make bondmen of her two little boys, her two sons. and that she has nowhere to turn in her hour of need, nowhere whatsoever. So it is in response to this widow's need that God performs a miracle as seen in our reading. So there are four great truths that we'd like to see from our reading today that everyone should share in, everyone should have a part. The first is this: God uses what you have. In verse 2, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. That's all she's got. I mean, it's over. That's it. Well, there are three truths concerning this. Number one, Elisha asked her, when she said her need, he said, take inventory. The first thing, she was asked to take inventory. Notice in verse 2 what was said. What hast thou in the house? What do you have? I mean, how extensive are your possessions? What do you own? Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 40 says this. Let us search and try our hearts and turn again unto the Lord. Again to the Lord. Now, that's the first thing, the first truth right here. She was asked by the prophet, the Lord speaking through him, to take inventory of her life. Folks, sometimes it's just good to stop in our tracks and to take inventory, to take and look at our life and see what the Lord is doing, see how he's blessed us and what we may have, but then to look at what God has given us, how we can use it for him. And that's what she did and what she learned in this. The second truth, God uses the little things, the little things. I mean, God is not looking for some pastor pastoring a huge church in Dallas, Texas, or wherever it might be. God's not looking for that. God uses the little things. You say, oh, Brother Eccles, I feel like I'm a nobody. I don't see myself as much of anybody at all. God uses the little things. The little things are great to him. He loves you. He loves you dearly. Look at verse 2 again. Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. I am only assuming that it was olive oil. Only assuming that, because that was it during the day. Now, a little boy came, and you know the story in the Bible. A little boy came to the Lord with 5 loaves of bread and 2 skinny fish. And that's what he had. And Jesus used what he had to feed 5,000. And if he can do that with that little boy, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 skinny fish, he can use what you have today, what he has given you, to do his work on the earth in our generation. Thirdly, the little pot of oil became a blessing, a great blessing. It really did. Now, oil represents faith. In many passages, oil represents the Holy Spirit. Now, faith leads the believer to have complete trust in the Lord. Now, have you ever noticed, how many of you ever seen a blacksmith at work? I mean, just go to one of these places where they're, you know, sure. And you know, down, has anybody ever been to Tombstone? Okay, there's a blacksmith or two there too. And you'll see them out there, ding, ding, and they're working on horseshoes and everything else. It's amazing how they can take steel back then and heat it up, get it cherry red and bend it around and shape it, and then shave this material. It's the same as our fingernails, only a whole lot thicker and bigger, and trim it and size it so that they can fit the horseshoe on that. But you've seen a blacksmith then with his work with a piece of iron. Now, he holds it in the fire to make it soft and to make it pliable. Now, that is exactly what the Lord and why God permits testing for the trials and temptations of the trials in each one of our lives. If you and I are constantly out of the fire of affliction, think about this now. We're looking at ways of avoiding these trials that God is attempting, if you please, without harm to us, to bring these things into our life. Well, he wants you to acquire patience. And patience comes with pliability. Pliability comes from testing. And we're put in the fires of God's judgment and testing. And he bends and shapes our life. If you and I are constantly out of the fire of affliction and testing, then pretty soon we become stiff, rigid, and finally useless. Now, what God wants is he wants to reshape us according to his image. In the fall of Adam, we lost our divine shape and our divine image. Over the years, from experience, every pastor, Bible-believing church has experienced this. You'll see people on fire for the Lord. They love the Lord. They want to live for him. And the Spirit of God is working in their life. And suddenly, little step by little step, they start withdrawing and they cool off. And pretty soon, either you don't see them much or they're gone. And that is so hurtful for them. And it hurts the entire church family, the body of Christ. Secondly, God rewards those that are busy in his vineyard. Notice in verse 3 of our reading, "Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty, even empty vessels." Notice what he says. Borrow not a few. Go out and get all that you can grasp. I mean, get them all. Bring them in. There's three thoughts here. First of all, the Lord can only use those that are willing to obey his command. And that's all he can use. God will not force his will upon our life if we're unwilling to obey his command. Now, think on this. In verse 3, he says, go. Just one little two-letter word, go. The strangest phenomena in the world are the things that come up when we should be serving Jesus. Things that get in our path and stop and misdirect and cause harm even to that point. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Now, I remember a young man, another young man in Swainsboro, Georgia, that he also was disabled. And he was a soul winner, a witness. The one would come to church visitation all the time. I've mentioned about him before. But this man, maybe in his early 30s, late 20s, but he came and every single time he would bring somebody and have a new face with him. Every service, every night of the revival, we had an 8-day meeting Sunday. And every single service from Sunday morning to Sunday evening, the next Sunday, he had somebody new in every service. He was busy and he was out there and he too was disabled. And it was in the summer, Georgia, in the southern part of Georgia, southeast, is so hot. Arizona at least has low humidity in most cases. It may get hot when the cotton's growing, but in Georgia, it can be 104 and the humidity's 100 and it's not going to rain. It's red hot. I mean, so the humidity is so high that if you jumped up from your tractor, you could swim in the air. That's how heavy the humidity is. Well, secondly, like the oil that the prophet is speaking of here, the Lord can only use vessels that are empty. And that's all he can do. Use vessels that are empty. How are your vessels tonight? Are they empty? Is your body, your life, are you empty of self? God wants to use you and I. And so vessels that are empty. An empty vessel is the only thing you want to have if you're going to be filling it up with oil. Listen to Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then thirdly, the third thought is this. The Lord wants to use each of us for his glory. Every single one of us that are here. He wants to use us for his glory. Verse 3, not a few. Have you ever heard of an evangelist by the name of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday, how many of you never heard of him? He was a baseball player, pro ball. He was good. He really was. He got saved. Told the coach one day, I'm going to have to stop playing ball. He was preaching already. And God used him. It is said of Billy Sunday, think on this, this is true, and it's living. It has been said that Billy Sunday was God's joke on preachers. Why? He had no eloquence. He had no charm. He had no dictation of speech. But he had one thing that most preachers do not have. He had the zeal of the Lord upon his life. He was a worker for the Lord Jesus. Listen, it ought to be for each one of us that not much can be said about our life, but one thing for sure, we have the zeal of the Lord. And that means that we focus on serving and loving Jesus and be a worker for him. Here's our third point in the outlines. God blesses the impossible circumstances. Please notice verse 4 and 5 of our reading out of 2 Kings 4. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now I'd like you to think of something. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. My goodness. These vessels were topped off. I mean, they were right to the top. So when we look at this, how does God bless in impossible circumstances? There are three ways that he does this. Number one, the Lord will meet the need of entire families that will trust him. Did you hear that? He will meet the need of entire complete families that will take and trust the Lord Jesus. Notice in verse 4, upon thee and upon thy sons. Her faith affected her children, literally. A mother can influence her children for good or for evil for Jesus. That's why church attendance and praying and being faithful. Hey, listen, you know what? Here's a simple solution to keep us on the cutting edge for the Lord. Is we always make decisions that are for Jesus first. Amen? And if we do that, our family, you say, then our family's going to be second. Well, if God's not first, then our family's first. Do you think that's what the Lord wants? No. No. He wants our families to be important. Outside of trusting Christ, our family should be number one. But Jesus should be number one in your life. And things will begin to fall together. And the Lord will meet the need of entire families that will willingly trust him. Verse 4, upon thee and upon thy sons. Here's what happened. Her faith affected her children, as we mentioned. It'll affect your children for good or for evil. Secondly, Jesus wants us to have a positive outlook with complete faith. Verse 4, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now, we can then thereby claim our lost loved ones the same way the widow did to the Lord. Claim them. Number three, her blessings depended upon her obedience. Are we obeying the Lord this evening? Do we have him number one? Are we willingly following him? Verse 4 and 5, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt put aside that which is full. And notice again, and she poured out. A little girl, true story, a little girl was given a string of beads as a gift. And her father came home one day from work, and he asked her to cast them into the fireplace. You may have heard the story. The little girl knew that her father always, always had a good reason for the things that he did. This little girl knew that. So, knowing the choice was hers, she cast the beads into the fire. And you know something? One day, the Lord will ask each of us to give something, give up something in life that will be for our own good. May I say that again? The Lord at one point or time in your life will ask you to give up something, but it'll be for our good. The Lord will bless us in a much greater proportion for obeying him. I got an idea that the little girl was given another gift by her father, and this test of faith multiplied in her life, and Dad blessed her. And God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us, and he wants to use us. Now, here's our last point. God always meets the need of every sincere prayer. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray? Do you pray? If you're home, do you pray? Do you pray about God's will for your life? Do we pray for our church and our pastor? Do we hold him up before the Lord? Do we pray that God would give us souls to be able to reach people for Jesus Christ? Look at verse 6. Notice, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. You know what that is saying? It was just enough. Just enough. Not too much. It was just enough. Not too much. Not too little. It was just enough. So, there are four things that God can do. Number one, he will and he can calm the heart, the storm-tossed heart. When you're in a position, you feel like you're in a storm, he can help you. Think about this. Jesus calmed the tempest of the tossed sea. As he said, peace be still. Think about it. What did he do after he said that? Well, he had sent his disciples on their way by the boat. And what did he do after the disciples? He sent them away. He sent a storm. The storm was to test and to try his disciples. You have a storm. It's not for your harm. It's for your good and for the good and blessings of others. There is no storm that God cannot calm. No sea too raging that he cannot take and subdue the waves. The demoniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. You remember about him? Listen, when they came into the land, what did that demoniac do? He was a maniac full of demons, unclean spirits. And he ran and he fell down and he said, depart from me. And he was full of demons and unclean spirits. And Jesus cast them out and saved him. And the man wanted to follow Jesus, didn't he? But what did he do? Go home. Tell your friends, tell your loved ones how great things the Lord have done for thee. You go home. You tell them all what happened today in your life. That's in Mark chapter 5. You remember after the demons were cast out, they ask and petition the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, to cast us into these swines. They wouldn't have any bodies if they didn't. So he cast them into the swines, the pigs. And they went violently down the shoreline. And they all drowned in the sea, the body of water. So all the people in the area, the village, man, they did not want this demoniac that's now healed. They saw him clothed and in his right mind. They should have rejoiced, but instead they said, get out of here. And Jesus, get out of here and don't ever come back again. It's what they were basically saying. So Jesus said, go home and tell your loved ones, your friends. And he did. Two chapters later, Jesus came back and his ship, his boat, set to the shore. And what happened? Oh, you can imagine everybody's going to come and they're going to kill him. But no, there was a crowd of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And they'd all been saved. They wanted to see Jesus. Do you maybe have an idea that that man that was healed and the spirits were cast out, and he told everybody of his household in that region that he had gotten saved, the Lord saved him and changed him. Well, my goodness. Cast out, two chapters later, maybe a year, he came back, and the whole region is different. And now they're running to meet Jesus because they love him, and they're glad that they're saved. So here we have this. Now, think on this. God always, remember, meets the need through sincere prayer. Thirdly, he can give faith to the untrusting and even the wayward soul. Have you ever heard of a man by the name of Blondin? A real issue, a real figurehead of history. He was a tightrope walker. And you say he had to be suicidal because there was no safety nets for him, and there was not. He would set up a cable, have it set up between two skyscrapers. And he would get up our high buildings, and he'd walk across, and he'd have that barn. Sometimes he'd go across, wouldn't have it. And he'd go across, no safety net. And here's what actually happened one time. Blondin carried a man across the top of two buildings, and they were way up there. And he carried this man on his back as he walked the high wire. He then got to the other side where the crowd is, and he asked the boy in the crowd, he said, son, do you believe that I could do the same thing with you as that we did with this man? And the boy said, yes, why, yes, I believe that. And the boy replied that, and Blondin said immediately, he bent down and then he said, jump on, just get on my back. The boy suddenly disappeared from the crowd. Disappeared. Amen. Now, Jesus says, follow me. Not many do. Not many do. God wants you to follow him. Will you do it? Will you do it? Jesus can save the sin soul of a troubled person. He can save them. There is no sin too hard for God to forgive. No sinner too difficult for the Lord to redeem. Here's a man that had a radio broadcast, and what a radio broadcast he had. J. Vernon McGee, I know that several of you have probably heard about him. J. Vernon McGee told the story of the game they used to play called Jump Across the Catalinas. Now, at the end of the voyage, they used to see who could jump across the Catalinas. It is 25 miles from the shoreline to the Catalina Islands. They would all change into their swimming suits and proceed to jump off the pier to Catalina. Some would jump further than others, but all came short of Catalina. Many live a better life than others. Some do not sin as much as others do, but all come short of the glory of God, and thereby they need to be saved, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, whether we're in the auditorium at this present time or we're watching on streaming, if you are not saved, you need Christ. If you would like to go to heaven to be in His presence, the one that loves you, the creator of heaven and earth and you, by the way, you need to take and trust Him and believe Him. We'd like to encourage you again to come Sunday, Friend Day. You're our friend. We want you to be here. And so listen, God has a plan for Florence Baptist Church. When Pastor is back and for next Wednesday service, let him know that you are involved in inviting people and you are praying that God will take and raise up people that you can invite and bring to church on Friend Day. And then, again, I know he would reiterate this and say, amen, thank you for all that signed up and were able and met with the Lord for prayer, for Friend Day, and for Florence Baptist Church, and for Pastor Sicarios. God is so good. Amen. 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 Well, let's bow our heads for a minute and ask you a question very clear. If you know that you were to die tonight and you know that you would go to heaven and you know that you've been born again, you've been saved, would you raise your hand just for a moment? Amen. That's virtually everybody in the church, everybody. Now, with our heads bowed, for those of you that are home right now, this is for you. Our people have raised their hand to signify that they've all trusted Christ. But for those of you that are home, some may not know Jesus as their Savior. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, every one of us. Christ died at Calvary to shed His blood and give His life to pay for the awful penalty of our sin. And He wants you to be saved. I'd like to help you. And then we'd like to invite you to call the church office tomorrow or to come visit the church Wednesday at 6 p.m. or to come to the Friend Day next Sunday at 10 a.m. And just tell someone, tell the pastor that you prayed tonight and asked Christ in your heart in the privacy and quietness of your own home or wherever you're watching the live streaming. But right now, I'd like to invite you to trust Christ and ask Him into your heart for salvation. Pray with me now. If you're not saved, make sure of it. Just pray, dear Lord Jesus, I know and I realize that I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus died for me and paid for all my sin. And right now, the only way that I know how, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm asking you to save me and change my life and help me that I can live for you. I am now trusting you for heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. If you've done that tonight and you have meant that with all your heart, then my dear beloved friend, when you die, you'll go to heaven. Not because of anything we've done, but because you have believed on and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Father, we ask now that you'll bless those that may have responded to the prayer. And Lord, then thank you for all in the congregation at this point that have raised their hand and they know that they're saved. And we just thank you now. We'll give you all the glory and the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Now, what song do you have, Ms. Eccles? What is it? Let's do this. Let's take our hymn books And let's turn to number 155. And then, as you're doing that, let's stand together in this invitational. I'll be down in the front. And we'd like to encourage you, if you feel you need to and you should, come down for prayer. Just let the Lord have His way in your life tonight. We'll sing the first, second, and the last.
Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after.
Look to the Lord now. Let's go ahead and we'll be dismissed. And Dana, I believe, will be locking up this evening. Now, I'd like to ask you this. If there's things you see that might be able to be straightened up just a little bit for Wednesday, after we have her, maybe you can help on that. And then, and it would be such a blessing to him, I know. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these that have been able to come. We ask your blessing upon their life and bless those that are unable to be here. We ask, Lord, that your will be done in every heart and every life. Lord, thank you that we live in a country that we can still worship you and to come to church and do things publicly, unashamedly, and without apology. We ask now that you'll use us this week to be a strong factor of bringing people unfriended. And Lord, anoint us and use us. For we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. We love you. God bless you this week.